Hey, Misfits, just wanted to let you know before the episode starts that we had some audio issues on my end, so my audio sounds a little bad. Emmy still sounds great. We still have a fantastic episode for you, so please bear with us. This will be solved next week. Now let's jump into the episode.
Welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We are your weekly podcast. We talk about aliens, cryptids, psychology, history, kind of everything under the sun of weird and wacky. We are your hosts, Emmy.
And Steve.
So Steve, it's almost Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait. I love Christmas time. It's going to be a little weird this year because work from home, COVID, all that stuff. It's not going to be quite the same, but
yeah,
whatever. It'll be interesting. An interesting time of year. I love Christmas, so I'm excited.
Is your Christmas look any different this year?
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. I don't think my siblings are going to be sleeping over. They're going to come. So the big difference my mom's not happy about is, so my brother's got engaged, and this year he's coming to our house in the afternoon. And my mom told them that that's not the case going forward. So,
oh no.
She's like, you can do it this year. It's like, but you're going to be Christmas morning. We don't care if you leave for the afternoon. So I don't really know what we're doing Christmas. So the other thing too is it's going to be raining and snowing on Christmas Day. So yeah. It's like, I don't really know if we want to do stuff outside because of that. I don't have any problem being out in the snow when it's snowing, especially with like a fire pit and stuff. But
yeah,
it's going to be a little different. How about you?
Yeah, it's going to look a little different this year. I mean, I have four siblings, as you know, and so we always have a huge Christmas with everybody's significant others, but I don't think that all of my siblings will be able to join this year, which is the bummer.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least everybody's staying safe, and, you know, some people live in different states and everything, so it just didn't really work out, but I'm sure we'll still have a good time.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be seeing all my siblings at least. I only have two, so
yeah,
it's just going to be a little different than years past, but
yeah,
whatever. It'll be fun. We're going to have a white Christmas finally, and I'm just hoping that the rain throughout this week doesn't wash away all the snow, because I love the snow. I've been having so much fun.
I know. Well, in New York City, it was like crazy this week with the snow.
We have like half a foot of snow still. Oh, it's going to snow tomorrow now, a 60% chance.
Oh, really?
Weather. Yeah. But now they're saying a 60% chance of rain on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Well, that's actually not great that it's snowing tomorrow now that I'm thinking about it, because I am driving home tomorrow.
Ooh.
But. Well,
best of luck. I'm excited. We're going to have hopefully a white Christmas. I haven't had that in New York, or at least this part of New York, in ages.
Be so fun.
I know. It doesn't feel like Christmas when it doesn't snow, but it seems to not snow anymore around Christmas time. So
I know. Well, climate change.
Yep. What a shame. What a bummer.
Just ruining all of our plans.
I know. Seriously. The problem is the rain. Like, there's nothing worse than a rainy Christmas.
There's nothing. Just like cold rain in general is probably on my list of least favorite things.
Yeah. I don't mind the cold if there's snow on the ground, but I hate the cold if there's no snow.
Yeah.
And cold rain is also just cold rain leads to ice, and ice just sucks. I hate ice. You slip everywhere. Know.
I mean, the only good thing is like that's how you get a snow day.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the roads are really icy, but it doesn't really happen for us anymore.
I know. That's the one thing that's awful about this pandemic is that, like, besides obviously the pandemic, but like one of the long lasting effects that's going to really suck when this is all cured is that there's no such thing as snow days anymore.
Well, it depends where you are.
But like you can work from home now.
I know. But like my niece had a snow day the other day, even though they're completely virtual.
Really?
Because they want to like give the kids a break. They're like, they deserve to like still have a snow day.
Oh, that's really nice.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
And then of course my sister's like, ugh.
Yeah, no. I imagine that's a pain for your sister having to now occupy her kid.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you gotta have snow days. Come on. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. Those are the best days. See, the only thing though is in high school we like never had snow days, so we just had ended up having half days, which aren't quite as good. But on the bright side, we ended up having more like spring break vacation days because those come out of somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
So that was nice.
Did you guys have any like snow day rituals?
Like wearing our pajamas inside out.
Yeah.
I think that's like the international one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, we would wear our pajamas inside out. You would sleep with a spoon under your pillow.
Really?
And then also go put an ice cube like somewhere in the backyard.
That's so interesting. We only would sleep with our pajamas inside out.
Yeah, probably because I grew up in the boonies.
Yeah.
We had
I
a
don't
lot of
know.
space.
I bet there's other ones, but that's the only one I've ever heard is pajamas inside out.
Yeah, the spoon was a big one.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I
I
mean,
have no idea why that would make a snow day happen, but
yeah, I don't either. But I just love snow days. Just because it depends though. If you get a real dumping, so in our Vermont house, we got 4 feet of snow during that nor'easter.
oh my God.
Yeah, or maybe it was a little less, but 41 inches.
That's insane. You would
I
like
know.
literally be snowed in.
Yeah, no, like you would actually, we would have been snowed in. Yeah. So it's a good thing that I'm not up there right now.
Yeah. I mean, some of my coworkers here in the city were telling me that they were like going to the store to like stock up on supplies. And I was like, okay, we're not going to be like snowed into our
Yeah, no,
apartment
I mean,
buildings.
how many inches of snow did you guys get there in New York
I
City?
think in Manhattan, the max was like 10 inches.
Oh, really? You got up to 10 inches?
Yeah.
Because we only got 8 inches. I mean, I am right on the coast, so it's a little different, but
Yeah. But I think they said like in Central Park there's 10 inches.
Really? That's interesting.
And I'm not
Because
far
usually
from the
everything in New
park,
York City
so.
just melts.
I know, but there's still snow on the ground now, so
Yeah,
it's
there is.
fun.
We saw about half a foot.
I've never really seen the city snowy before, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's actually awesome. Until it turns all like disgusting with soot.
Yeah, but the
Yeah,
whole city's disgusting anyway, so.
no, that's true. That's very true. So, do you want to get into the episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So first big thing, we're going to be launching our newsletter in January. I don't remember if we said that last episode, but just so everyone knows, January. So look out for that. Go to our website, sign up for the newsletter. You can do that now. Just go to misfitsandmysteries.com. And next week, we are going to have our good friend Brian Weaver from Ghost Quest back on to discuss his new books and aliens.
So fun.
So what's on the docket for today, Emmy?
All right, so I am going to tell you about the Kali Kanzaros.
What the heck is that?
They are some evil Christmas goblins.
Okay, I'm excited to learn about that.
Yeah, I think you'll
So
like it a lot.
I'm kind of all over the place and it might be a real mess because I was originally going to do Yule, but turns out that a major holiday, pagan holiday that spans 12 days and sort of is made up of three different holidays was a bit more than I could chew.
Yeah.
And what made things even worse for me actually is that there's a new Assassin's Creed game that's out called Assassin's Creed Valhalla that's like Vikings. And they just released a freaking Yule DLC or something for it or update. So all the goddamn articles that were like clogging up all the SEO online were about this DLC. And it made it really
Oh.
hard to research it. So
Yeah, that's tough.
I on top of that, it's a really extensive thing. And then there's this nonsense from this video game that I've never even played before, just clogging up all of the SEO for me trying to search things. So I'm like, screw it. Maybe if we're lucky next year, we can try and get some sort of professor or historian in and they'll tell it, break it down for us, and that'd be really
Yeah.
cool. And then I was sort of all over the place, so you're just gonna learn some facts. It's gonna be just a fact-based episode for me.
All right. That
And then
sounds
we're watching which episode is it? 7 of Kid Nation?
seven.
Which I will admit now, because my notes are a little funky. I was playing a little catch up before we recorded, so I was watching at 1.5 times speed. So it sounded like they're all coked out. So,
Probably more exciting that way.
yeah, let's hop into the episode.
All right. So I think that you're going to be really excited about this
Okay,
one.
believe. I'm excited.
I was super happy that I found this. So they are called Kali Kanzaros.
Kali Kanzaros.
Yes.
Nice. Where are they from?
I looked it up right before this. So so they are these evil goblins, and it comes from Southeastern European and Anatolian folklore. Not mm-hmm. really sure what that means. Legends of Kali Kanzaros are also found in Greece, Bulgaria, Serbia, Bosnia, kind of all over Eastern Europe.
Yep.
So they live underground, but during the 12 days of Christmas from December 25th through the 6th of January, which is the winter solstice, mm-hmm. they can come up to the surface. So during that time, during the winter solstice, it's like the sun stops its seasonal movement. And so that's why they can come up from
the darkest day of the year.
Yeah. So literally from like the center of the earth mm-hmm. is where they come up. And their whole thing is that they really hate the light. So that's why when it's like darkest, they come out.
Oh, okay. So that makes sense. So they're like a pagan thing then?
I think so. It's like kind of out of Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And the word Kali Kanzaros actually comes from the Greek word Kali Kentaros, which means beautiful centaur. Ooh. But they, when I tell you what they look like, you will not think that they are a beautiful centaur.
Okay.
So I'll tell you what they do.
Okay. What do they do?
So they live in the center of the earth. Mm-hmm. And according to Greek mythology, there is this tree in the middle of the earth running all the way through the earth, like from one end to the other. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what they do is every year they try to saw down the tree of the earth, which would saw the earth in half and like kill everybody.
Yeah.
And that's their goal. But when December 25th hits, they're able to go up to the surface. So they leave the tree to go up to the surface, and they spend 12 days there totally wreaking havoc. And then when they come back, the tree has repaired itself and they have to start all over again. And this happens every year.
So basically like they do like a half-assed job and have to restart.
Yeah. Like they get almost there. It's like almost sawed all the way down. And then they mm-hmm. go up, leave for a few days, come back, and the tree is better. So they have to just keep doing this over and over and over again, which as you'll see throughout this, like these things are really stupid.
So basically, like, over this 12-day period, they do a half-assed job and have to restart?
Yeah, because they're the surface. They're not in the center of the earth anymore, so they can't do any sawing. So while they're up at the surface, they enter houses any way that they can. They really remind me of the Yule Lads. Yeah.
So they're bad at what they do then? Like,
I mean, clearly they are, because they're not sawing down the tree. But it says they go any way that they can, through windows, down chimneys, even through keyholes, and they can like stuff themselves through like a crack in the door.
Like an octopus.
Yeah. They like, I don't know if they can shapeshift, but and then so as I said, they're afraid of the light. So mm-hmm. You'll only see them at night.
Yeah.
And then on the 6th of January, it like gets too light for them. So they go back to the center of the earth. And that's when the Greek priests come through the house and bless your house with holy water to kind of like get rid of the, mm-hmm. of the evil things.
So what are they doing there in your house?
It's unclear.
They just like are in your house?
Well, I think they just kind of like mess things up, you know, like they'll go through and like throw your clothes around or like steal your food.
Like your sausages, you know, yeah. Lick your pots, or sorry, lick your spoons, scrape your pots. sniff your doorways, all the classic things.
Yeah, sniff your doorways.
Slam your doors.
Hook your meats.
Mm-hmm. Swipe your sausages. Goalie your gox.
Goalie your gox.
Sheepcoat your clods.
Your clods.
Eat your candles. Lick your bowls. All that stuff. The classic stuff.
They're really disruptive things in life.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I will tell you what they look like.
All right.
So it kind of depends on like what folklore you are adhering to. Like Greek is different than Bosnian is different mm-hmm. than, you know, so it's kind of hard to know exactly what they look like, but by section, kind of by region. So Greeks say that they have like some kind of animal parts, like a hairy body or like horse legs mm-hmm. or like tusks, but they're half human, half animal, kind of going back to the centaur idea.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're ginormous and sometimes they're really, really small.
So they can either be giant or small, but they're animal-like goblins that just fuck your shit up.
Right.
Okay, it's good to know.
And so then that's the Greek way.
Mm-hmm.
But then in some other regions, they're very tall, black, and hairy with red eyes and donkey ears and tongues that hang out.
That's so this a kind weird of reminds me,
right? Kind of reminds me of Mothman.
I was thinking that, and it also kind of reminds me of like Pinocchio, you know, when like Pinocchio turns into a real boy and then becomes a donkey.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
or
yeah.
Becomes an ass.
Yeah.
That movie freaked me out, Pinocchio.
I haven't seen it in so long.
I didn't like it when I was a kid.
It is kind of scary.
Yeah.
I always confuse that with Peter Pan for some reason.
Really? Peter Pan's the one where they use like imagination to fly or whatever.
Yeah.
And he fights Captain Hook.
Because I always think that Pinocchio and Wendy are a thing, but that's...
No, that's... They're not.
Peter Pan.
Pinocchio's such a weird film, too. Because it's like a weird old guy who wants a son, so he turns a doll into a son instead of adopting a kid.
Yeah. It's a little like Frankenstein-y.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Pinocchio, but fun fact, do you know that actually every single frame of it was hand-painted? It's so old that, because it's colorized, right? It was hand-painted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Each frame of the movie.
They painted each individual frame?
Well, that's what you had to do back in. When did it come out, like the 30s?
That's insane. That must have taken so long.
It came out in 1940. Well, they had to. Like, there's no other way to do it. They had to hand paint.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have, like, animation, I guess.
And there's no other way to have it colored back then.
So, I mean, it's kind of like when you have, like, a pad of sticky notes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, draw it a little bit different each time.
Yeah.
So it looks like motion. That's what it's like.
Yeah, basically. I think that, holy shit, there's a Pinocchio in outer space?
What?
We gotta watch and review the Pinocchio.
That's a movie?
There's a Pinocchio in outer space. There's a New Adventures of Pinocchio. Pinocchio 3000. Pinocchio and the Empire of the Night.
That sounds terribly amazing.
We're gonna watch Pinocchio in outer space at some point.
We have to.
Yeah. Okay, let's get back to your goblins.
Yeah. I actually watched a really terrible Christmas movie that I will tell you about later.
Oh, I'm excited. I wrote down some Christmas movies as well.
It was really bad.
There are there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 nightmare-inducing Pinocchio spin-off movies between 1965 and 2000.
So I guess you're not alone in thinking it's creepy.
I guess not. All right, let's hop back in.
All right, where were we? Okay, so yeah, some people think that they're tall, black, and hairy with red eyes, mm-hmm. etc. And then this one, I think, is the best description.
All right, I'm excited.
So in some other regions, unspecified, by Wikipedia. They are just like humans. They look exactly like humans, but they're very small and they smell terrible. And the ones that come up to the surface are all male, and they all have, quote, protruding sexual characteristics.
So they all have like erections?
They just have like huge dicks.
Are these like, wow, these are stinky dig big, I was about to say dig big, big dick boys?
Yeah, just like small men with huge dicks.
Nice. And they have no other animal characteristics? Just giant dicks? No,
just like regular people, but they're naked.
So are they like small? Are we talking like 3 feet or are we talking like 1 foot or shorter?
No, like, I think like the size of a doll.
As a massive penis.
Like an action figure.
Massive dick. That's hysterical.
Yeah, just like running around, like causing little inconvenient things in your home.
Well, I mean, I feel like you're less inclined to like grab it and throw it or something if it's massive penis is there.
That's true.
You don't know where that thing's been, especially because it's always out.
It's an evolutionary advantage.
Yes, it's probably infected. That's why it stinks so much. Why do they smell?
I don't know. I mean, they are coming from the center of the earth. And if they're that small, like, how are they sawing down this giant tree? It's my question, too.
I don't know.
There must be a lot of them.
A lot of them. A
lot of them.
That's really funny, though.
Yeah, but
little naked men.
But kind of aside from that one region where they just look like humans with big dicks, the most common belief is that they're just these like small little black creatures that are like half human, half animal, and they resemble little black devils.
Ooh, so like little nymphs?
Yes. And across all regions, they are blind, and they speak with a lisp, and they love to eat frogs.
They love eating frogs?
Yes.
So, are there, like, this is a question I genuinely don't know. Where the hell do frogs go in the winter? And two, are there frogs in Europe? I don't know.
Don't frogs hibernate?
Yeah, but where do they hibernate?
I don't know. Do they go in the water?
I don't think they can hibernate underwater, because I think they still need oxygen.
Maybe they, like, dig themselves in the mud.
Oh, that's I like that theory. Because I also wondered, where do turtles go?
Turtles? Because I used to have a turtle. They bury themselves in the mud.
Ooh, I mean, I used to have two pet turtles, but we always had a heater, so they never hibernated.
Yeah. Mine never hibernated either, but I just, like, did research on them.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Well, more you know. My turtles were named Tortellini, like a tortellini, and Speedo.
Speedo?
Speedo and Tortellini.
That's Tortellini. So cute.
I know.
Tortellini.
Yeah. They were two Eastern painted turtles, and we got them from a pond, and then eventually I released them because they're really stinky and they got really big.
Yeah, mine were really stinky too. Mine's name was Franklin. Like, remember Franklin the turtle?
Yeah, of course I remember Franklin the turtle.
Yeah. Franklin and Myrtle. Myrtle the turtle.
I like that.
Yeah. A lot of good turtle names.
Yeah.
So it's more of a tadpole story than a frog story.
Go for it.
So there's this little puddle by my parents' house every year. It's kind of like rut in the road. Mm-hmm. And every year there's like a puddle there. And this one stupid frog always lays her eggs there in this puddle.
Oh, boy.
And of course, like, it dries up.
Mm-hmm.
But every year she does it. So when I was a kid, it would be our mission to rescue all of these tadpoles that she had laid in this puddle and put them into a different pond.
Yeah.
And of course, like, over the years, we like kept a few, whatever. So my mom was like, all right, Emily's really into tadpoles. So she got me a really, from the pet store, like a really big tadpole, like a bullfrog tadpole.
Oh boy, I think I know what happens next.
What? What do you think happens?
Did it eat all the other frogs?
No. Oh, so we only had one tadpole, but this is also when I had turtles. So my mom's like, this is a great idea to put the tadpole in the turtle tank.
Oh boy.
And I learned about the circle of life very quickly.
Oh yeah. Yeah, turtles eat fish.
Yeah, but so what happened was they bit the tail off of the tadpole.
Oh no.
So now it's like got a little short, tiny, stubby tail, and we put it back in its own cage, and it actually did fine. Like it grew its tail back, but it just never turned into a frog.
What?
And so it was just like for like a year and a half, I just had this tadpole. But it didn't make any effort to become a frog. Like it never started growing legs. It like never even tried. So one day we're like, all right, well maybe if we release it, like he'll just kind of get his bearings and like start doing something. So that's the last I saw of him. But
oh my god, that just reminded me of a repressed memory. Oh my god.
What is it?
When I was like 4 or 5, this is before I was in school. So I used to have like a play group with a bunch of kids. I'm not really friends with any of them except for one of them is my best friend, but we were like 3 or 4 years old. And one of them, we were over at my house and we had this classic play car that you like push with your legs, right? Mm-hmm. And we found all these things living in the back of it in a big puddle. And we picked it up and put them into like a fishbowl and brought it into the house. It turned out they were mosquito larvae.
Ew.
Is that really gross?
How did you find out?
My dad freaked out when he saw them and made us dump them out.
Oh, so you didn't like keep it in your house and
kept it in the house for like a day until my dad got home and was like, what are you doing?
That's so nasty.
I know.
Good thing they didn't hatch in your house.
Oh my god, I know.
Like, me and my moth story, like, totally traumatized.
Yeah, that would have been so traumatic, but yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Let's get back to your goblins.
About these. So, there are a couple ways that you can stop the Kalikanzaros from coming into your home and wreaking havoc. So the first one is to burn the Yule log for the entirety of the
all 12 days that
they're there. Yeah. So they can't come down your chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people would do. So that's kind of how I don't know if that's how the tradition got started, but a lot of people would keep the Yule log burning for an entire 12 days. And some people would throw like smelly shoes into the fire to try to like make it smell really bad so they wouldn't come in.
The pagans love doing stuff with their shoes.
They really do. We've like, talked a lot about shoes.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but they put their shoes out for the Yule lads. They throw shoes to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Burn shoes that smell bad.
Can you imagine, like, they must really believe in these things if A, ruining their shoes, and B, making their house smell like shit. Right? It can't be like, okay, I guess we gotta do this for the kids now.
It's not like an elf on the shelf where you put the effort in. You don't make your house smell like shit.
Yeah, it's like, guess we gotta make the house smell like burning rubber and feet. Yeah.
I don't think they did that to appease the kids.
Yeah, exactly. So then the second way that you can get them to leave is, this one's really funny. So you put a colander, like a pasta strainer, out on your doorstep.
Yeah.
And the Kalikanzaros will sit on your doorstep all night counting the holes in the colander because for some reason they can't count to 3. So they just count like 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And they do that all night until the sun comes up and they burn up.
So they are really stupid.
They're really, really stupid.
That's funny. I like when the villains are really dumb.
Yeah. I mean, it makes them easier to avoid.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, just a random aside, it's kind of similar. So, you know, the reason that there's the count in Sesame Street is because there's this old tradition where vampires can't help themselves. They have to count things. So what you do to save yourself from vampires is you just throw a bunch of grains of rice in the ground in front of your house, because then the vampire would compulsively count each grain of rice and burn up in the morning.
That's extremely similar to this.
Yeah, that's why it made me think of that.
Yeah, they must have some kind of connection somewhere down the line.
Yeah, probably somewhere. Well, I mean, yeah, it must have been. That's this whole area is pretty close to like Transylvania in terms of like geographic location. So I imagine these traditions probably like intermingled and evolved as time went on.
Right. But just, it's so funny, like a colander, like you have to count all the holes in it.
Can't count past three. Yeah. Or past two.
They love counting, but they can't count. What a terrible life that is.
The one thing you really love in life, you just can't do.
You just can do it really badly.
That's so funny.
Okay, so then the last thing that I want to tell you about Kali Kanzaros before I move on is, so any child born during the 12 days of Christmas, so December 25th through January 6th, is in danger of turning into a Kali Kanzaros each Christmas season, starting with adulthood.
So like their entire lives, they could turn into one?
Yeah, so if you don't take preventative measures, which I'll tell you about in a second, once you become an adult, you would turn into a Kali Kanzaros every Christmas season.
So would you turn into one for 12 days or for life?
I think just for the 12 days, and then go back to being a regular person.
So at least you don't have to live in the center of the earth the rest of your life.
But it's kind
of
like werewolfy.
Ooh, werewolfy.
Yeah, it's like this is really like a mix of just like every little
tradition.
I wouldn't call them cryptids. I don't know what they're called.
This is more folklore and mythology.
Yeah. So what you can do is, when the baby is born, so if it's born during this period of time, which they try to avoid, but if it is, you bind the baby in garlic and straw, and then you cut off their toenails and throw them in a fire.
Like, you rip their nails off their body? Or
No. You just, like, clip the ends off the toenails.
Okay, good, because that would be really painful.
Yeah, and light them on fire. Don't ask me why that prevents it, but again, the wrapping your baby in garlic does seem very vampire-y.
It does seem very vampire-y. That's very true.
According to another legend, any baby born on a Saturday throughout any time of the year, they can see and talk to the Kali Kanzaros.
Wow. That's very specific.
Right? So they're the only ones who can, like, communicate with them. So.
Interesting.
And that's it.
Well, that was a fun one.
Isn't that so much fun?
Yeah, those are interesting. Like that one. I really enjoy how you describe them, how they're just really stupid and just fail at their job miserably. And also funny how they're just, I lost my train of thought. All right, so whatever.
They're just, like, really ugly and stupid and, like, not that good at what they're supposed to do. Like, they're trying to, like, take over the world, but they're just, like, not good at it.
Yeah, it's like their heart's not in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, well, we'll try again next year.
Yeah, they really want to take over the world, but their heart's just really not in it. Otherwise, they would have by now.
I know, yeah. So.
All right, so are you ready for a shit show? This is like,
absolutely ready.
I am all over the place. So it all started with, like I said, I was trying to do Yule beside us too much. And then I initially thought, hey, why don't I look at like what Christmas things come from pagan traditions? And the only articles I could find were on really boring things. Like, I don't care about mistletoes or holly. I mean, just a quick aside about mistletoes. Before, they're all about kissing. It was a sign of like good faith and peace. So if two rivals met underneath the mistletoe, they would have to put down their weapons and form a truce for one day, and then they could kill each other the next day.
Okay.
And then So where things really started going off the rails and why I didn't do a good job on doing a lot of research on one thing in depth is I was watching this documentary on CuriosityStream. We haven't
sponsor us
in a while. So this is your reminder, but for the end of 2020 CuriosityStream, please sponsor us. And it's called Wild Christmas. It's about like animal significance in Christmas, right? And they were talking about this tradition of reindeer in how like reindeer obviously pull sleighs. And then they said something like an offhanded comment about in some cultures, there's a talking moose that takes over if the reindeer fail. And then I couldn't really find much information on this talking moose, right? And they'd say much more. So I Googled it. When I search talking moose, everyone Google talking moose.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Look at the image in the first video.
It looks terrifying.
Yeah. So someone, it turns out, created the first ever animated talking like thing or animated thing on like 3D animation on Apple Macintosh computers in 1986 was this Canadian guy, Stephen Halls, created this talking moose. And it is the most horrific looking thing I've ever seen.
Why do I feel like I've seen this before?
Isn't it upsetting?
I'm watching the video right now with no sound. That is so strange.
Yeah. I'm not a fan.
I'm really glad you stumbled upon that, though. Oh, my God. It's so creepy.
I know. Isn't it freaky as shit? Yeah, so I got completely derailed. So my research about reindeers is stopped.
You really got sucked into this.
Yeah, I know.
Disturbing.
The most horrific video I've ever seen. Back to some other facts. So another thing that I've discovered while researching is, do you know that reindeer and caribou are the same thing?
Really?
Yeah. So apparently a caribou is a wild reindeer and a reindeer is a domesticated caribou.
I didn't know that reindeers were really domesticated.
I didn't either, but they use them to like the Russia area, like a lot of Norway, like Scandinavia. There are these like nomadic tribes that herd them for a living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have them pull their sleighs for them.
Well, and in the North Pole, of course.
Oh, of course. Of course. So we're going to get to two of the theories about how reindeer started flying as well. So there's this tribe, the Dukha people, who live in like Mongolia, Russia area. They have been traditionally reindeer herders. So they herd tons of reindeer and like they have them pull their sleighs and stuff. And I guess they sell them for meat, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things they do is they feed the reindeer these psychedelic toadstools and then drink the reindeer piss to get high.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I wish I was kidding. But so they do that and they drink the reindeer piss to get high. And apparently one of the reasons that the idea of flying reindeer came about is that when you're really high on this reindeer piss, what happens is you feel like the reindeer are flying. So like stories about that sort of got like around, sort of became part of like the Christmas tradition with like literature and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the other area it sort of comes from is, so besides just St. Nicholas, did you know that Santa Claus is also based on Odin, the pagan god of pagan? I don't know what the hell he actually is the god of, but he's like the big boss of the gods.
Hmm.
So basically what happens is every year around the winter solstice, so Yuletide time, Odin goes on a giant hunting party. And if you don't know who Odin is, he's the father of Thor and Loki and all the other gods. Thor and Loki are a little bit different than they are in the Marvel universe, because I think it's kind of bullshit that Marvel kind of co-opted legitimate gods and made them superheroes. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's stupid to me. All right. Tangent aside. So what happens is around this time, Odin always leads his hunting party through the skies and he rides on his 8-legged horse, Sleipnir. I don't really know if I'm pronouncing that right. It's called Sleipnir.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that probably also eventually evolved into flying reindeer. The reason we have a lot of these traditions is that the Christians wanted to convert these pagans, and you can't really convert people to your religion if things are super different. So what they did instead is they're like, hey, if we just make our major holidays line up with your holidays, it's going to be really easy to convert you. So they basically did that. Like Jesus, fun fact I learned too, Jesus is most likely actually born in mid-September, not December 25th.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. So the reason that's December 25th, though, is that is when solstice celebration is. So if you make the most important holiday in Christianity, or it's not actually the most important, Easter is, but if you make one of the important holidays of Christianity on the same day as the solstice or the Yuletide celebration, it's a lot easier to get these people to like convert to your religion. And with them, they brought all these things like Christmas trees, wreaths, mistletoes, all that stuff.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then another interesting legacy of Odin is, I guess two pieces of this are, Odin was always depicted as an older man, like big older man. I don't think he is as fat because he's like a warrior type, but he would wear a blue cloak, right? He kind of resembles Santa, which is interesting. But the real interesting thing is, so what kids would do is around this time, they would leave their boots out with like straw and apples to feed his eight-legged horse. And in return as a present, because Odin was also a gift giver, Odin would give the children presents like food. He would make sure that no one would go hungry because he's the god. He's their protector.
Yeah.
So that tradition turned into hanging stockings.
Oh.
And the reason, this is really fascinating. So the reason that boots play such a big role in all these pagan countries, like especially the ones who follow the Germanic religions of, I don't even know what it's called, but like the Germanic ones with Odin, Loki, like the Norway, Scandinavia, Germany, all those all like have something to do with boots, is that they all are under the same sort of folklore of you put your boots out and Odin blesses you with gifts if you give him gifts.
So your boots are the gift?
No, no. So the reason that gifts are placed in the boot is that the kids would put their boots full of goodies and for the horse, for his horse, right? And the horse would eat it. And in exchange, Odin gives you food so you don't starve. Another present.
So that's kind of like putting your milk and cookies out for Santa.
Exactly. And we've kept the boot thing.
Yeah.
Another little fact is, did you know that Christmas trees haven't always been a part of Christmas?
Tell me about it.
So there is a old pagan tradition of bringing a evergreen Christmas tree into your house. Mm-hmm. The idea behind this is that this is the Yule, like the Yuletide, that those 12 days are the darkest days of the year. And it is believed that because they're the darkest, it was the time for all the evil things like the dead, goblins, witches, all those things. They would like come in. This is like the most dangerous time of year, which is really interesting, like allegory for what's actually going on, where it's like you could freeze to death, nothing's really growing, so there's food shortages, all that stuff. So you'd bring the evergreen in, so you'd add a color to your house during the bleakest time of year.
Mm-hmm.
This died out when the Christians took over, when everyone converted to Christianity. But then sometime around the 16th century, for whatever reason, the German Protestants introduced the Christmas tree.
Huh.
And it's related to Martin Luther somehow. And there are two theories. One is that it has something to do with Martin Luther looking up the stars, which I don't really buy. I don't really understand how it's related. But the other is that's a combination of the German paradise tree and the Christmas light. So the paradise tree is obviously like an evergreen. I don't really, didn't really do too much research about that. And the Christmas light has something to do with lighting. And that's the reason that they used to hang candles on the Christmas trees, which is an insane fire hazard.
Yeah, it really is.
And then it didn't really catch on as a major part of Christmas until 1846, when a sketch of Queen Victoria and her German husband, Prince Albert, appeared in a London newspaper. And the royals were sketched standing in front of an evergreen tree. And that just started the trend of getting a tree. And ever since 1846, Christmas trees are synonymous with Christmas time.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Like all these little traditions that you never really think about. Like a Christmas tree is just a Christmas tree. Yeah, you know?
Exactly. It's just a Christmas tree, but it wasn't just a Christmas tree in the past. It has become that.
Yeah.
Another fun fact, you know that Santa's sleigh gets pulled by kangaroos in Australia?
Really?
Yeah, isn't that fun?
That's really cute.
I know.
I am still stunned by the reindeer pee thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can't believe that's where the flying reindeer come from. Like, it's such a cute little children's thing. Comes from people who are just like high out of their minds.
It's just crazy that they're just feeding their reindeer these toadstools and just drinking their pee.
First of all, how do you figure out that that works?
I have no idea.
That's second really of, right? Like, because not only do you have to figure out that the toadstool is hallucinogenic, but then also you're like, all right, let me try this reindeer pee.
Yeah, it's true.
And then second of all, why wouldn't they just eat the toadstools themselves?
You know, the documentary I watched did not bother going into that, but they were just like, yeah, so they just feed them toadstools and drink their piss and get high. It's like, what?
I mean, whatever you do to get by these days, or yeah, those days.
I mean, there's this type of shark that they eat in, I think it's Iceland, or I believe it's Iceland or Greenland, I don't remember. But, and it's insanely toxic unless you bury it for like 125 days in the sand, like in piss. You pee on it, bury it in sand for 125 days. What I want to know is, how they figure out that 125 days was the mark? Did someone try it like at day 50 and die horribly?
Yeah. And like, how do you even think of that?
I don't know. And like, why is it like, oh, if I piss on this and bury it in a hole for 125 days, it'll be edible? Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you even consider that?
I mean, maybe they figured out like what enzymes it uses and like.
I don't think that they figured out what enzymes it uses in like Viking times.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they knew what enzymes were.
Well, that is a roller coaster.
All right. Do you want to get into Christmas movies now?
Sure.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
Welcome to They're Terrified and Tipsy. My name is Courtney.
And I'm Stephanie.
Since we have very different feelings about scary movies, we decided to share our emotional struggles with you all.
Yeah, so grab a glass of wine, your favorite couch blanket, and get comfy and enjoy the ride with us. You can find They're Terrified and Tipsy on Instagram and Twitter, plus all the podcast platforms. For links, head over to tipsypod.com. Cheers!
So, you watched a shitty Christmas movie. Tell me all about it.
I did. So this is actually probably seen it on your Netflix because it is the number one movie on Netflix in America right now.
Okay.
A California Christmas.
No, what the hell is that?
So it's not like shitty in the way that we usually talk about, like animatronics and stuff. It's just like a really terrible Hallmark movie.
Okay.
So it's like this big business guy who's like a total playboy comes onto this farm to like convince them to sell their land and he goes onto the farm and immediately meets this girl, and the first scene of them meeting is when she's helping a cow give birth. And so she's like, hey, you come over here, and he like, again, this like big city like fuckboy dude grabs the grabs the cow and is like helping it give birth, and she's like, you're our new farm hand. And so he just accepts it and just lives on the farm, and they fall in love, and it turns out, spoiler alert, that she has a dead dad, a dead fiance, and her mom has cancer.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wait, so can we just talk about how this guy is a millionaire playboy trying to buy the land? Someone just goes, you're the new farmhand. And then he just is like, fuck, I guess I am the new farmhand. I can't. It'd be too awkward to say anything else.
Yeah, and she was like, because they had a new farmhand who was supposed to start that day. Mm-hmm. So she thought that he was the farmhand when he showed up. And he was just like, I have to live with this.
It's like, it's just one of those moments where it's too awkward.
Yeah.
It's just far too awkward to be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and there's a little more to it, but like that's basically what happened.
That's really funny. So I haven't actually seen this, but while doing some research, I watched a clip from The Little Drummer Boy. And that is nightmare fuel. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think so.
Oh my God. Just Google it right now. I hadn't ever seen it or heard of it, but like that South animatronic or claymation, whatever it is, claymation, is just horrendous.
I really don't like claymation.
No, claymation's gross.
I really love it.
I haven't actually seen it, but let me tell you what. It is nightmare fuel. If you just watch how he moves and plays the drums, it just freaks me out. I don't know why everyone was into back then. That was freaky. But I can't think of what it's called. Maybe it was like A Year Without Santa Claus. Did you ever see that one?
I don't know.
The animatronics. That's a weird one. I don't know why I keep saying animatronics, but yeah. So Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I want to talk about that one.
Okay.
Have you seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like the claymation one?
Yes. I think a really long time ago, yes.
That one freaks me out. I don't know why. It freaked me out as a kid. I don't like it. Claymation. I don't really remember what happens, but there's that freaky Yeti guy. Then there's like the lumberjack. Those movies, just something about them just irked me. I didn't like them.
Yeah. Claymation is weird. I mean, like, I really commend the people who make those movies, because that has to be so hard.
Oh my god, it's, as we were saying about Pinocchio painting each panel, it's like that, only 100 times worse.
I would never have the patience for that.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't do that either. Did you ever watch the Scrooge McDuck version of A Christmas Carol?
I don't think so.
Oh. I don't really remember it, but I remember it being really freaky when they're at, like, the Ghost of Christmas Future, I think.
Yeah.
He's, like, the graveyard thing. That really scared me as a kid.
I can't really think of any Christmas movies that scared me, necessarily.
I mean, The Grinch traumatized me, like, the Jim Carrey one.
Yeah.
That was horrific.
Yeah. Jim Carrey kind of freaked me out.
Did you ever see The Cat in the Hat, like the live action one with Mike Myers?
I don't think so.
Just Google it, please. That is one of the most scarring films I think I saw as a kid. It is, like, scary. He is just...
When did this come out?
Like 2000s, sometime in the early 2000s.
He just looks really weird.
It's uncomfortable. I that movie just freaked me out as a kid. But so back to The Grinch. I talked about this on Twitter once, but you know about the Grinch-themed ketchup?
We talked about this.
Did we talk about it on an episode?
I think so.
Well, I'm going to bring it up again, because that shit traumatized me. I got the purple one, which had his dog Max on it.
Yeah.
And I put it on a hamburger, and I swear to God, it was like innocence. It stole my innocence as a child. It was the most disgusting thing ever. It wasn't ketchup. It wasn't ketchup with different food coloring. It was nasty. I don't know how to explain it. It made me want to vomit. It was so bad.
Steve, I just Googled this purple Grinch ketchup. Mm-hmm. Found it on eBay. Guess how much it cost for like a totally sealed.
Was it $97? I think I saw that one.
$114.
Ooh, the price, I think, has gone up.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
Who would buy that for $115? I mean, that's gotta be like smelly. Do you have to keep that in the fridge?
I don't know. I would, yeah, it's a refrigerated product. At least when it's open, it is. I kind of want to buy it just to destroy it, so it can't ruin anyone else's life.
Destroy it. I mean, I really hope that no one's eating on it.
I don't think it's safe. I want to, like, just maybe, like, exercising a demon, just like getting it and burning it.
And I'm looking at it right now. It's like really unnerving to have like this purple liquid.
Have you seen a picture of purple ketchup on fries?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't that just disgusting?
There's a picture of a hot dog with green, purple, and red ketchup on it.
Oh.
Why? I mean, that just makes it look so fake and gross.
You know what the worst part is? It's like, this is a really successful thing for a bit there. Like, the colored ketchup.
Yeah.
When we were kids.
But I mean, I bet it would be like kids would find it really fun.
But no, I remember it being the most disgusting thing ever.
Did it really taste different?
I mean, it couldn't have, because I've read the ingredients. It couldn't have, but it did.
It was probably just in your head.
It must have been. I remember it being awful.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, so there's that. That's a, ugh. If anyone else remembers that trauma, I have it as well. It's Twitter seemed to be traumatized
about it.
Twitter seemed to be very traumatized about it when I brought it up the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess in terms of good Christmas movies, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Mine's Home Alone.
I have two. A Christmas Story, which we talked about last time.
Talked about that last week.
Yeah. So good. And then this one's really boring, but Elf.
Oh, Elf's a good one.
I love Elf. It just makes, every time I watch it, it's like, okay, now it's Christmas time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Home Alone. That's the one I watch consistently.
Home Alone's really good.
I watch it every single year. I haven't watched it yet. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned with how our Christmas plans are going because, like, so last year, my brother and his girlfriend watched it early, and it was an issue.
Oh. They watched it without the family?
They watched it together, and I think my sister and I forced him to rewatch it with us.
As you should. I mean, they can watch it twice.
Yeah, you can watch it twice, but it's like, you can't do that. Yeah. The interesting thing is, I actually didn't know that my brother loves that movie. I never would have guessed that until one day, I think I was in high school, because it was when my brother and sister are both home from college, and they were just watching Home Alone. I guess I never realized that we watch it every single year until, like, I was around high school age.
Yeah, it just like becomes part of like what Christmas is.
Yeah, exactly. So now we're gonna go jump into Kid Nation.
Kid Nation. So this episode is all about money.
Because this was like almost 2008. I think the economy is probably in the shitter now. Or did the economy crash in 2008, or was it starting to crash end of 2007? I was too young to remember.
Yeah.
But
somewhere around there.
Yeah. Economy is in the toilet.
Economy is in the toilet. So it starts off with all of the kids, or not all of the kids, but some of the kids have these little stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like selling cute little kid stuff that they've either like made or picked up around town. So there's this one girl. I didn't write down her name.
David or Devade? I don't really.
Oh, it was Devon.
Devon, yeah.
Yeah. So Devon. Yeah. So Devon makes this store where she's selling like little food treats.
She's selling food that she took from the kitchen for money. But
she like kind of made it her own.
She did, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. So she
go from the kitchen and then charge money for it.
Yeah. So she starts selling it for 10 cents and like it's fine, and all of the kids come over to her and they're like, we're not spending 10 cents on this, like how dare you, especially Sophia, who I used to like, and I was like, that is, if you don't want it, don't buy it.
Sophia was in all the drama this episode. I don't even get it.
Really, just like
she was just there. It was funny.
In a bad mood this week.
Yeah. Like,
that's how capitalism works, people. If you don't want it, don't buy it.
Exactly. And then I don't know if I'm skipping too much, but that scene where she takes 50 cents and just puts it in the most disgusting shit imaginable. It was so
funny.
She had like just rotting food, trash, and she's like, there's 50 cents. If anyone wants it, take it around here and get it.
I wonder, have they ever told us like what their salaries actually are? Like how much is 50 cents?
I don't know how much things cost. I forget, maybe. But I know it's like you get $1 if you're upper class. Like you get like 50 cents or something like that if you're
merchants.
I don't really know what the breakdown is. I think you get like one nickel if you're
laborer.
I think you might only get like 10 or 15 cents if you're a cook. So it's not like you don't have much money.
Yeah. So 50 cents is a lot.
Yeah. So I thought it was really funny because that would have entertained me as well.
I know. So basically the town council goes to read the book,
mm-hmm.
and it tells them there is a treasure buried somewhere in Bonanza City.
Yeah.
And so the town council goes into this like cave and goes searching, and there's like bats everywhere.
There's a Wuhan bat.
I hope not.
Hope it doesn't give him COVID.
Yeah. And they stumble upon what I think was $18.
It was 300 nickels.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that.
So I think Andre said something like, this is $18.50 worth of greed right here.
Yeah, which is like, no, I don't think that's the case.
Like $18, okay. So they're trying to figure out what to do with it. But the town council makes the decision to go to the store and buy like a bunch of just like fun toys, like baseball bats. And
yeah, I actually like that for communal use.
So yeah.
What I want to know is those 300 buffalo nickels, do the merchants get to keep that?
I feel like no.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It must be no, but like that'd be pretty great if they did.
That would be pretty great.
You'd be the richest kid.
Yeah. But I would assume no.
But
all the kids were so pumped. I thought that they would be pissed.
I did too. I thought they'd be really pissed off, but I think they made the right decision at the end of the day because the kids were able to play together, which is nice. Like
they got to have a little bit of fun.
Football, like they all got along and it was communal stuff.
Yeah, totally. So next is
Nathan, right?
Yeah, Nathan. Poor Nathan.
So Nathan just sounded coked out because I was listening at 1.5 speed, so. I don't have a great
poked out like in regular speed.
Oh really?
He was kind of
talking like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
He was homeschooled. So there's two homeschooled kids, which makes sense because these weirdos who would send their kids here are all homeschooling.
Yeah. So imagine like this is your first time around this many kids.
Oh,
and
my
it's
God.
Just like so traumatizing.
Yeah, and he has a tough time. Greg's a little mean to him early on.
Greg is very mean to him. They're like making fun of the way he's washing the dishes, but he turned out all right, and Greg actually apologized later in the episode.
Yeah, which was good. I actually appreciated that.
Yeah, he was mature about it.
Yeah, I just think that he's a hormonal adult, and he can be a dick.
Yeah, and so next is the challenge.
Yeah, so they have, like, golden eggs, right, that they're launching a slingshot to catch in a net?
Yeah. So the goal is to catch 48 eggs.
Yeah.
And so each, I mean, it's 4 dozen eggs, and so presumably it would be, like, you know, every team catches around a dozen eggs.
Yeah.
But it does not work out like that.
Oh, not at all.
So the red team comes in with a whopping 5 eggs.
Oh my God, yeah. So I didn't write down how many they had, so I'm glad you're going.
Yeah, which is awful. They were so struggling, and Guylin was just like launching them everywhere. Green got 6 eggs. They always do terrible.
Yeah, but not 5.
Not 5. Yellow got 18, which seemed pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the max.
And then blue comes in with 38 eggs.
Jesus Christ.
And red got 5. Like, are you serious?
They dominated. So they
totally dominated. I mean, Andrzej is usually not very good, but he really rocked at that time.
Yeah, I know. He was probably trying to not get dethroned because, what's her name? Doesn't like him.
Oh, Olivia?
Yeah, is that her name, Olivia? She seems to hate him, so.
Yeah, she really does.
For no good reason.
No reason.
Okay, and then they had to choose. So they got the award because of Red's dominant performance. And they had to choose between laundry machines that would have cost 20 cents each or new clothing and an old-timey laundry machine thing that was free. And it was like, I think I was really leaning towards the laundry machines at first, and I realized, no, that's so stupid. You're so much better off getting brand new clothing.
Brand clothing.
And having, like, a washing device of some sort.
Yeah, especially because it's, like, someone's job. I think it's a laborer's job to, like, do laundry. So they're already doing it.
So wait, I have a question. Where was Taylor this episode?
We didn't see Taylor once this episode.
I know.
Maybe
that's why it's kind of a boring episode.
Well, last episode was, like, totally the Taylor show. So I was kind of glad to have a little bit of a break.
I know, but, like, there was great drama because she just makes everyone so angry.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. So then Jared starts a necklace business. Mm-hmm. And he's really good at that. I'm telling you, this kid used a magnifying glass to burn wood. And I think what he wrote, I think he wrote words better than I can write with a pencil with a magnifying glass.
And they actually turned out like really well. And people are buying them like crazy.
I know.
And then he goes to this, that was like the funniest part of the episode when he goes to the store and buys all new clothes and he's like strutting around town. And
yeah, he looked like a pimp.
Yeah. And he's got like a long like piece of candy that he's using as like his cane.
I know. I love that scene. That's so funny.
So funny.
So after Jared was just a pimp, they voted on who should get it. And then Pharaoh was trying to make a push because he needs it financially. And I kind of, who'd get the star? And yeah. I agree that Pharaoh kind of deserved it just because at the end of the day, he needs it because it's 20K and it sounds like he really needs it for his financial situation. But then the kids are like, no, but Pharaoh's only doing this. So he, like those years, like, so he's only doing it for the money. He's not doing it for the greater good of the town. It's like, yeah, no shit. I think
if you need the money. Like,
yeah. I think besides, was it Michael the first week? I think besides him, who didn't know there was 20K at stake. I think everyone was doing it for the money after that.
Absolutely.
So then Nathan won the star.
Mm-hmm.
And then how was his conversation with his mom? I didn't watch that part.
Well, it was just, I mean, it was fine. He was kind of just like awkward.
Yeah, he's just like an awkward kid.
What would you tell me if I told you that I had a gold star? And she was like, wow, great job.
That's funny.
So that was it.
Yeah, that was it. All right, so I think we're gonna wrap up the show now. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Quick reminder that this episode, obviously, you know, is coming out on Tuesday, and next week's episode we're probably gonna try and launch on either Tuesday or Wednesday because of New Year's and the holidays. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, remember to check us out on social at @podcast_misfits on Twitter and Instagram. We also have a blog and website. You can check out misfitsandmysteries.com.
Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter. Oh, and also our promo for this episode was the Tipsy Pod. Check them out. They're awesome.
A lot of fun.
Yep. Again, we're having our good friend Brian Weaver from Ghost Quest on next week to discuss aliens and his new books. So make sure to tune in. It's going to be a great time. Check out our past episodes. Last week we did strange Christmas traditions from across the globe. And the week before that, we had the Gator Crusader on. And then before that, we did the Yule Lads. And the Yule Lads are gosh darn hysterical.
Hysterical. All right. Stay spooky, guys.
Yeah, as always, stay spooky. Bye.
Bye.